And we are thankful for your presence. We're thankful, O God, that as we sought to worship you this morning, that, Lord, you have responded. We have sensed your presence. You have touched us. You have spoken to us. Lord, you have lifted some of our concerns and some of our burdens. And Lord, we just ask you by your Spirit to continue that work in us. Continue to minister to us. Lord, we ask that as your word comes forth, O God, that our hearts will be receptive to your word. Father, I ask you for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask you to give us insights. Father, I ask you to show us different aspects of your word this morning, different aspects of your truth this morning, that we might be able to lay hold of it. Father, we ask you to continue to edify us and build us up. And Father, we pray more than anything else that Christ and Christ alone would be seen and that he would receive all the glory. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. And amen. Wonderful. We're talking about divine favor. Two weeks ago, I spoke about, in the time of special favor, how to recognize special favor and how to function in special favor. Today I want to share, continuing on that theme, but also to talk about us growing in favor, how to grow in favor. So what I'm sharing today really is something that fits into what my wife said earlier. This is part of the kitchen things that God has for us, which require sometimes a little bit of effort on our part if we want to grow in favor. But turn with me, if you will, to 1 Samuel chapter 27. 1 Samuel 27. As I continue to talk about operating in time of special favor, again, for those who are just catching this part of the series, we talk about special favor as distinct from common favor. Common favor is a favor that we have in Christ. We have because of covenant. The Jews have because of the first covenant. We have because of the covenant we have in Christ. Special favor is on top of that, that is sometimes unique to different individuals, although all of us experience special favor at different times. How do you function during that time? And one of the things we said first and foremost is never to compromise our faith. And as I look through scripture, you see many of the people of God, many of the leaders of God experiencing special favor. And one of the things that they made sure to do was not to compromise their faith. We see it with Daniel, for example. Daniel being and the Hebrew boys being brought into Babylon and being chosen. And they were offered the king's food, king's meat, and Daniel decided that they would not compromise their walk with God, their commitment to God. And because of that stance, God worked on their behalf and continued to show them favor. And so it's important for us, for you and for me, to have that issue settled, that we're never, ever going to compromise our faith and our walk with the Lord. Then another thing that we said then was that in a time of special favor is for us to, at least before the Lord, ask the Lord to be bold and to ask big. And to ask the Lord, you know, to lead you sometimes to, in terms of the people you're dealing with, how to ask and what to ask. But we shouldn't be shy, we shouldn't be timid. The last time we mentioned Nehemiah, before the king, when the king showed him favor, he was bold enough to ask big, to ask for lumber from the king to help them to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And so Nehemiah wasn't just asking for himself to be relieved, but he was saying to the king, you can help to supply the needs to help us to accomplish this task. And then we talked about the Jews, the Israelites, when they were leaving Egypt, that they went, the Lord told them to ask for the silver and the gold and all of the nice clothes from the Egyptians, and they went in and were very bold and confident and asked for the gold and the silver. something that, I mean, it's very unlikely that a slave owner would want to give to a slave. But God showed them favor and they got the silver and the gold and all of the nice fancy clothes. If they didn't ask, they wouldn't have gotten it. This is another example we have here in 1 Samuel chapter 27. This time it's talking about David. And I'm repeating this because for some of us, it's hard for us to embrace that idea. We are so sheepish that it's hard for us to realize that we can boldly ask big in a time of special favor. So I'm reading from verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 27. Then David said to himself, "No, I will perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than to escape into the land of the Philistines. Saul then will despair of searching for me anymore in all the territory of Israel, and I will escape from his hand." So David arose and crossed over, he and the 600 men who were with him, to Achish, the son of Maacah, king of Gath. And David lived with Achish at Gath, he and his men, each with his household. So it's a whole heap, because there's 600 men plus their households. Even David and his two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the Carmelitess, Nabal's widow. And this is where we're coming down now to the special favor. Now it was told Saul that David had fled to Gath, so he no longer searched for him. Then David said to Achish, "If now I have found favor in your sight, let them give me a place in one of the cities in the country, that I may live there. For why should your servant live in the royal city with you?" So Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Therefore, Ziklag has belonged to the kings of Judah to this day. And the number of days that David lived in the country of the Philistines was 1 year and 4 months. To appreciate this, we have to remind ourselves to the background of David, that this is the David who killed Goliath, the Philistine. You see, this is the David, and later on, Achish's men are going to bring it up, who was appointed by Saul and went out to lead the army into battle. And the people started to sing because he was so successful that Saul has slain his thousands and David has slain his 10,000s. And he's talking about Philistines that David had killed. And so with that background, to see him come now into the Philistine territory and to be before one of the Philistine kings shows you that this man is being shown favor. And in that situation, he was bold and confident enough to ask big. David knew that if he lived in the city with the king, you know, it's easier for the king to observe his going in and out. So David wanted to be amongst the Philistines and to have his own little city. And so he was bold and brazen enough to go to Achish and say, "Listen, if I found favor in your sight, give me a city out in the country so we might live there." He's asking of the Philistines, who we had created havoc in their lives before, for a city to live in. That's bold and brazen. But he asked, and he received it. And the scripture says not only did he receive it for that time, but that city then eventually became a part of Judah. It eventually belonged to the Jews because David was bold enough to ask for the city amongst the Philistines. You and I would have been so sheepish, be like, "But what if I ask and now the king gets angry with me? Or what if I ask and, you know, he denies me?" Well, if he denies you, you have nothing to lose. And so in a time of favor, it's important for you and I, when you recognize it, to be before the Lord and to say, and to ask first and foremost of the Lord, big. You know, the scripture in Ephesians reminds me that he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you and I may ever ask or perceive or think. But Jesus told us, or at least James tells in James, "You have not because you ask not." And Jesus told us to ask and keep on asking. And so I want to encourage us, when you recognize the hand of God, when you recognize opportunities of favor, to ask big, to ask beyond your own faith. And as we go on, later I'm going to encourage us in praying for ourselves and for our children especially, to ask big, to pray big in terms of favor in their lives. Because, you see, we say it with our mouths, we say it to our children that, listen, Anything that you want to accomplish, you can accomplish it. Well, they need favor to accomplish it. And they need people like you and I, parents and adults, to be praying for favor in their lives, that God would open doors and take them to dimensions in places and accomplish things through them that they would never even have thought about. But we have to ask. And we have to release favor into their lives. So in times of favor, be bold and ask big. And then I had mentioned the last time that to make sure if we don't allow people to manipulate us and we don't manipulate people in times of favor. That's very, very, very key. So when we function in times of favor, to make sure you're not, you know, that people don't think that you owe them one. No, if you're operating in the favor of the Lord, you don't owe anybody anything. You see, so that's very key for us to remember. So I put here, function with integrity. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. I'm starting at verse 1. It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they would be in charge of the whole kingdom. And over them, three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them, and that the king might not suffer loss. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Again, you want to recognize favor, you can see favor right here in the life of Daniel. Daniel being a foreigner, a Jew, being brought into the kingdom, and now the king is planning to appoint him over all of the kingdom next to the king. That's favor. And as we will see, as we go through, issues can sometimes arise. So the commissioners and all these people realize that this is what's about to happen, so they try to find some grounds to try and bring a complaint against Daniel. Verse 4, then the commissioners and satraps began to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to the government affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. He functioned with integrity in every area of his life. So these guys went investigating. You can imagine it's like today with the media. They tried to find something against Daniel. And every area where they looked, they couldn't find any form of corruption. No bribe being accepted, no favoritism. This man has functioned with integrity. Verse 5, then these men said, we will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find against him with regard to the law of his God. Would it be that that was so for the believers, that they can be found no grounds of accusation, but they realize that this person is committed to God. They're committed to Christ. If you're going to find something against them, let it be that these people, this individual is committed to following Christ. That's a true believer. That's all they could find. And so these guys, many of you know the story, they decided, they went to the king and said, King, let it be for 30 days. Anybody who makes any sort of request to any God apart from you, let them be thrown into the lion's den. Because they realized the only thing they could find about Daniel is that this man was continually praying to his God, continually being before God. That's the only thing they could find. And so the king wasn't even thinking, and so the king signed this new law. And sure, they went and they found Daniel. In fact, let me read verse 10. Of Daniel 6. It says, now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had the windows open towards Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks to God before his God, as he had done previously. In other words, Daniel knew that this law was passed. He knew what these guys were planning. He knew that they were trying to come against him, but it didn't shake him in his commitment to God. He didn't like, well, let me close my window now. No, that's the way he prayed before. That's the way he's going to continue to pray. And whatever happens, happens. Church, if we are talking about revival in our nation, we need some believers who are like Daniel. Daniel was living and functioning among heathen, people who hate him. And he functioned with integrity. He did not compromise his commitment to God. He was found on his knees, 3 times a day praying, seeking God. Even though he knew that he had favor with the king. And so they came and they found him and brought him to the king. And as many of you know the story, he was thrown into the lion's den. I'm going to read verse 16 of Daniel 6 there. It says, then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. The king spoke and said to Daniel, the king had faith. He spoke and said to Daniel, your God whom you constantly, notice the word constantly, serve, will himself deliver you. When I was reading this, I was like, whoa, that king had so much more faith than many of us. And so Daniel was thrown into the lions then. Verse 18, then the king went off to his palace and spent the night fasting. And no entertainment was brought before him, and his sleep fled from him. You can see that this man had some sort of connection with Daniel. He couldn't sleep. And the Bible said he fasted. And the next morning early, the king was the first one up and ran to the lion's den. Verse 20. And when he had come near the den to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel spoke to the king, O king, live forever. It's a favor there. Then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken out of the den. And you know what happened next. That those who accused Daniel, they and their families, were cast into the lion's den. And the Bible says that by the time they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and killed them. You see? And so here you see the man functioning with integrity, the man being faithful to God in the midst of being shown favor. So in times of favor, function with integrity, keep your commitment to the Lord no matter what. I put here, treat people with honor and kindness. And last time we read Proverbs 3, which says that kindness and truth should be around our neck. And when that is so, God will show us favor. Work on forgiveness issues because people will do us wrong. That's what Joseph experienced. People did him wrong. And because he worked on his forgiveness issues, when the time came for favor to be shown to him, he could respond. He wasn't tied to the past. But he was open to flow with the things that God had in store for him. In times of special favor, we need to walk in humility and meekness. It's easy sometimes to get puffed up when, you know, favor is being shown to you. But if you look at all the saints of God, you see they continue to walk with humility and meekness. One of the men who was shown lots of favor in the Old Testament was Moses. And the Bible says of Moses in Numbers that he was the meekest of all men in his time. Even though God has shown him so much favor, he walked with humility. In times of special favor, be faithful with God-given task. Be faithful to the things that have been given to you to do. And all of the Old Testament saints, you'll see that they were faithful. Daniel was faithful. All of them were faithful. Moses, Joseph, Noah. All remained faithful in doing the things that God had called them to do. They never slacked off and said, well, now that I'm in favor, I can just take it easy. And in times of special favor, it's important for us to give the glory to God. God is the one who has opened opportunities. God is the one who has blessed us. And it's important for us then to return and to give glory to God, to magnify the name of the Lord. That's what Joseph did when he encountered his brothers. He said, listen, it was God who brought me here. It was God who has made me, the word he used was father to Pharaoh. Because he was taken from prison to become next in line to Pharaoh. Bible says he found favor in the sight of Pharaoh. And Joseph said, this is a God thing. It is God who has done this. And he gave all the glory and the honor to the Lord. And you and I need to do the same. It's not because, you know, we are so smart. It's not because we are so good looking. It's not because of all these other factors. It's all because of the goodness and the grace of God. And we need to always point it back to the Lord and let people know this is a God thing. It is God who is at work here. And then, as I have here in the notes, for those who are notes in the middle of the bulletin, expect and address adversarial reaction. We just saw it there with Daniel. The king was about to put him in charge of all of them, and there it is. Adversaries arose. There it is, they came and opposed him. There it is, they tried to actually kill Daniel. So in times of special favor, don't just think that everything is going to be nice and smooth. No, you remember that you and I, we still have an enemy who's trying to find any opportunity to come against us, and he will raise up people to come against us. So don't be slack. We see it with Joseph. He found favor there in Potiphar's house, and before you know it, Potiphar's wife rose up against him. So don't be naive and believe that everything is just going to be sweet sailing. With Mary, who found extra favor with the Lord in Luke's gospel, many of you know what happened when she gave birth to her son. That the devil rose up in Herod, and the next thing you know that they had to move into Egypt because Herod now sought to kill all of the boys 2 years and under within that region. Enemy rose up. So being in favor doesn't mean that life is going to be nice and smooth. No, keep your eyes open. Be alert. Anticipating that jealousy will arise in the hearts of people. That the devil will put negative thoughts in the minds of people. And some of them may come against you. In Nehemiah's case, as soon as he went back home, Sanballat and Tobiah rose up against him. So there's a pattern there that you and I need to be aware of. Let's talk a little bit now about steps to finding or growing in favor. Turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 47. This is talking about Jesus. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and answers. When they saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. And he said to them, why is it that you are looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house? But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And then here's a key verse. It says, Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. What that says to me is that we can actually grow in favor. We don't have to remain at one level. We should never become complacent. We should always be seeking the Lord for more and more favor, because the favor is supposed to help us to fulfill our call and our destiny. It's supposed to help us to preach the gospel. It's supposed to help us to reach more people for the purposes of God. Amen. And so here you have Jesus, a 12-year-old, growing for the rest of his life in favor with God and men. The same thing is said of Samuel in 1 Samuel, that Samuel grew in favor with God and with people. So I put here one of the steps to growing in favor is to never become complacent. Always be asking God for more. Always realize that there is more in the Lord that He wants to accomplish in you and through you. That's what Moses did in Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33, verse 12, it says, "Then Moses said to the Lord, See, thou dost say to me, Bring up this people, but thou thyself hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Moreover, thou hast said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight." So Moses heard the word of the Lord. "Moses, you have found favor in my sight." Many people, many Christians would have like, "Well, I'm good then. That's fine, I'm good. I found favor in God's sight. Yeah. But Moses didn't stop there. This is what Moses says. "Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know thy ways, that I may know thee, so that I might find favor in thy sight. Consider too that this nation is thy people." In other words, let me know thy ways. Teach me your ways so I might grow in favor. Because the more you know the ways of the Lord, it's the more you and I are able to please the Lord, and the more then He can pour out His favor in our lives. So Moses didn't become complacent. And as I thought about the life of Moses, you know, Moses, remember in Deuteronomy when he was releasing the blessing upon the sons of Israel, he talked about the God of the burning bush. That God, he was praying for Joseph, the tribe of Joseph, let the favor of the God of the burning bush be upon them. In Deuteronomy 33, Moses realized that from the moment he encountered God at the burning bush, he experienced favor. Because up until then, his life really didn't amount to anything much. 80 years. And really had nothing to show for it. And then God just sovereignly appeared to him at the burning bush and showed him favor and continued to show him favor. And so Moses was praying, "Lord, teach me your ways." This is in Exodus 33. Moses has seen miracles. He has seen plagues. He has seen the Red Sea parted. He has seen all sort of stuff. But he didn't stop. He was like, "Lord, you said I've found favor in your sight. Teach me your ways. Lord, there's so much more for me to learn about you so that I can continue to find favor in your sight." Never become complacent. Always seek to grow in the Lord. Always seek to know the Lord. I put here, practice kindness, going back to Proverbs 3, which says that kindness and truth be around your neck. Because when you have that there, the Lord will show you favor. So practice kindness to people. Reach out to people and show them the love of Almighty God. And think about it this way, in my own family, I have two kids. And if I show favor to one, I bless one in a certain way. If that one shows kindness to the other, I'm more inclined to continue to show favor. But if that one is like hoarding stuff and not willing to share, then I'm like, why am I showing you favor when you're not willing to share with others? And so it's the same thing I believe in the heart of God. When He shows you and I favor, He wants us then to share that favor through kindness and through acts of mercy being demonstrated towards other people. It reveals the heart of God to others. Walk in the truth of God. Let me look at Proverbs 3. Just to remind you again. Proverbs 3, verses 3 and 4. Can you put that up for us, please? It says, "Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man." So it means then that you and I have to continue to walk in God's truth, continue to walk in God's word if we want to continue to experience God's favor. There's no way around it. It's not as if we can just slack off. Because God has promised that he will show favor to the one who walks in truth. In Proverbs 5, it says that favor is like a shield around the righteous. It protects us to some extent. And I like Proverbs 90. So I like, that should have been Psalm 5, verse 12. In Psalm 90 and verse 17, I like that verse. Come and see it. Psalm 90. As I was meditating on Psalm 90 recently, I realized that the psalm, according to the people who make notes in these Bibles, was actually written by Moses. So at the start of it, this is a psalm of Moses. The Psalm 90 and verse 14 is what Moses says. Oh, satisfy us in the morning with thy loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days thou hast afflicted us, and the years we have seen evil. Let thy work appear to thy servants and thy majesty to their children. So it's not just the individual, but to the next generation. Then verse 17 says, and let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. And do confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. This is Moses, the same Moses who experienced favor from God throughout his life, who cried and said, Lord, teach me your ways. Here he is now praying in the psalm, and he's saying, Lord, let the favor of the Lord be upon all of us. Let it rest upon us. And one of the ways in which you know the favor of the Lord is that he confirms, he establishes the things that we do. Establishes the work of our hands. You look at some people and you want everything they put their hand to seem to be successful. Well, that's God's favor. And it comes, this is a part of Moses' prayer. It comes sometimes as you and I pray for ourselves and as we pray for others. Let their works be established. Lord, let whatever they put their hands to be successful. Show them favor. Give them opportunity, Lord God. The psalmist says that this favor can last for a lifetime. You look at some people's life and you can see it. There's favor, favor, favor. Steps to finding or growing in favor. Seek to know the Lord and his ways. That's what Moses prayed. Teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. Open my eyes, O God. It says in one of the Psalms that the children of Israel only knew the acts of God, but Moses knew his ways. You see, when you know the ways of the Lord, all you need to do then is just align yourself with what God is doing. Align yourself with God's ways. One of the things I seek to do is to see where God is working and just join in with that. Well, I want to be over here trying to figure out what God is doing. If God is doing something, I want to be a part of it. So I'm just going, Lord, you're showing favor here. I'm just going to go with the flow. Amen. Yeah. Teach me, Lord, your ways so that I might continue to find favor on your side, so that I might grow in favor. Be faithful to the Lord in the things that he has called you to do. And then I put here, pray for favor. In our first message in this series, we read from Hosea 12, where it talks about Jacob, that Jacob was wrestling with the angel, and Jacob, there in Hosea, it says that he wept and asked for favor. Jacob realized that at that stage in his life, he wanted more of God's favor to be seen in his circumstances. He had already seen favor when he was working for Laban, and for each time Laban tried to cheat him, God would still bless him. He had already seen favor, but now he said, Lord, this angel is not going to leave me until this angel gives me favor. Amen. And he prayed for favor for himself. So one way to go in favor, friends, is for you to pray for yourself, for God will show you favor. Favor with him and favor with people, that doors will be open. That the things that he gives you in your mind to do, that they will be successful, that he'll confirm the works of your hands, so that you don't waste time doing something that just keeps failing and keeps failing. Pray for yourself and for others. Put your prayer for your children. That's what Jacob did when he was releasing blessing and favor upon Joseph and upon the children of Joseph. That's what Hannah did in Samuel when she was asking for a child. She was asking for God to show favor to this child. And then the next thing you know, in 1 Samuel 2:26, it says Samuel grew in favor with God and with people. It's a consequence of his mother's prayers. So parents and uncles and aunts, you don't realize how powerful your prayers are before the Lord. You might have grown children and you can't do much right now in terms of talking to them, but you can pray for them. And I believe as you pray for God to show them favor, as you pray for God to intervene in their lives and cause them to see his goodness and his mercy, it will help some of them to return to that place of intimacy with the Lord. As you pray, Lord, teach them your ways so that they might find favor. It would allow the Spirit of God to do some stuff in their lives. As Moses released blessing through favor upon the sons of Israel, so can you and so can I. And so when I pray for my children, I'm constantly asking God to show them favor. Show them favor on the job, Lord. Yeah. Open opportunities for them, Lord. Whatever they put their hands to, Lord, cause them to be successful. And I think I'm seeing some of the answers to that. As I mentioned Lydia a while ago, producing 3 books in 1 year. And guess what? She's still writing another one right now in the month of November. She's putting on Facebook how many words she has written, over 40,000 by now. Amen. I mean, she came down for Thanksgiving and in the slack time, she's there typing. And I'm thinking, how can you even think when you have all stuff happening around you? Because she's writing fiction. I thought that fiction means you have to be creative. So how can you be creative when you have all sort of this quote-unquote distraction all around you? But I realize it's a favor of God. And when you can see the favor of God in a certain area of a person's life, then pray for it to increase in that area. Because that's where you see God at work. You follow what I'm saying, saints? Where you see God at work, where you see God has blessed them or gifted them, pray for an increase. Pray for an opportunity to open for them so they can fulfill the destiny and purpose God has for their lives. I don't think when we read Luke, when it says Jesus grew in favor with God and people, it's just written there for us to say, well, I can memorize that scripture. It talked about Mary pondering certain things in her heart. Well, I believe that led to her praying for him constantly, for this child that God has given her, for him to fulfill his purpose and his destiny. So parents, you and I, grandparents, uncles, aunts, we have a privilege before the Lord to pray for God's favor to be released in the lives of the next generation. Another step is to honor parents and people in authority. That's what Jesus did. When it says he went home, it says in Luke there, and he submitted, it says, to his parents. Let me read this again for you. Luke chapter 2. And verse 51. Sometimes we miss it. Sometimes I miss things. I read it so quickly. It says, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth. And he continued, see the word continued, in subjection to them. You couldn't want any clearer than that. He's 12 years old. He's not just 4 or 5 now. He's 12 years old. And the Bible is saying that Jesus went home and submitted himself to his parents. And his mother treasured these things in her heart. And then the next verse says, and Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and with man. So young people, listen to me. If you want to have the favor of God in your life, learn to submit to the wisdom. Learn to submit to the advice of the people God has put over your life, your parents, first and foremost. Especially if they are godly parents. Amen. I'm not saying that they will always be right, because they will be the first to tell you, no, they're not always right. But there's something that God honors. That's why it says, Paul said it in Ephesians 6. It says, this is the first commandment with a promise, that it might go well with you. In other words, so that God might show your favor in your life. At least one parent here. It's very, very key. Because we live in a time where, I mean, it's always been like that. You know, when you reach a teenager, you think that your parents have any sense. You think that you know more than them. And in some areas you might, you know, in technology you might, but when it comes to life, you really don't. You might know a lot more in terms of the iPhone and all sort of stuff, but when it comes to dealing with people, you don't. And if you want to grow in favor with people, then you need to learn to submit so that God can open doors of opportunity for you. Right. Hallelujah. So honor parents and people in authority. Paul tells Timothy to pray for those who are in authority. In Ephesians 6, Paul says to show respect in word and in deed to your parents. In Daniel 4, what we see is Daniel being before the king. And Daniel is asked to interpret his dream, the dream of the tree. And Daniel interprets it, you can see his respect for the king. He says, King, I wish this dream, I wish the interpretation was for your enemies. He's approaching the king with so much respect. And then he goes on to say, but this tree is you, king, that the Lord has raised up. And then when he saw the tree being chopped down, it's you that's going to be chopped down, king. And Daniel goes on to say, take my simple advice and turn away from your evil ways. But he had an attitude of submission to the king. And that's why God continued to show favor in the life of Daniel. And then, as I mentioned before, walk in humility and meekness. God resists the proud, the Bible says, but he gives grace, which is another word for favor, to the humble. Okay, let's talk a little bit more about favor and wisdom. Because one of the things Jesus grew in was in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. We shouldn't really separate favor from wisdom, you see. So true wisdom and favor comes from God. We see that in what was said about Joseph. We see that in James, where James says, there's a wisdom that comes from above. The true wisdom comes from God. And for you and I to grow in favor, we need to have wisdom to know how to function. Because Joseph had wisdom, the king was able to appoint him. Favor was able to appoint him over the kingdom. Because it doesn't make sense for him to just show him favor and put him in authority, and the young man has no sense. So he has to have wisdom, depend upon the Lord for guidance and strategy to fulfill the task ahead. So I put here, wisdom and favor are coupled together. God was pleased with Solomon because Solomon asked for understanding to lead the people. We call it wisdom. Proverbs 8 and verse 32. Proverbs 8 verse 33 says this. Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. This is talking about wisdom. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself, and all who hate me love death. So here's wisdom saying, if you find me, you're going to find life and you'll obtain favor from the Lord. So we need to be praying constantly, Lord, give me divine wisdom. Give my children divine wisdom. Because as they receive divine wisdom, God will show them more favor. Because wisdom, if I put it in my notes, is a key to success. You look at Nehemiah. that God showed him favor, but he needed wisdom now to organize the people to rebuild the wall. And when the enemy would come and threaten, wisdom to know how to put people to work at different places and to have some watching while others work. And wisdom to know that these guys are trying to distract you. Don't go and meet with them because they have no good in mind. Wisdom from God. Amen. If we pray for our political leaders, we need for them to have divine wisdom. As our own sister Melissa is seeking to go and represent people in Jeff City. And if God shows her favor and she's put in that position, then she needs wisdom. So we need to be praying constantly for wisdom. Wisdom helps us to put here to act with God's timing. When Esther was shown favor, and you know the story with Nehemiah, with Haman, when Esther was shown favor by the king, she had wisdom. And so she said, the first night, she said, no, not tonight. Come back tomorrow for another banquet. She had wisdom, the right timing. And because of the wisdom, the scripture says there in Esther that that same night, the king couldn't sleep. You can see the hand of God. And the king called for the chronicles. And the section was brought to him where he read about Mordecai, the man who exposed the plot to kill his life. And the king says, next day when Haman comes in, what has been done? What should be done for a man I want to honor? You see, his favor now about to be shown upon Mordecai. And Haman thinks it's about him. You see? And so favor was shown to Mordecai. But it's all because of Esther now waiting on the Lord for the right timing to do and say different things. Some of us, the first time we see something, we just want to run off. No, wait on the Lord. Ask him, when's the right timing to do different things? And when's the right time to say certain things? There's a time for us to hold our mouth. And there's another time when it's right for us to speak. And so we need wisdom to help us to know to flow along with favor. I'm going to ask Sean to come on back as we tie this thing up. And as we mentioned before, part of wisdom is to get documentation for things where possible. For when things are put in place, when people say they're going to show you favor, to get documentation. Nehemiah asks for letters from the king so that when he goes to the people in charge of the forests, he has documentation. In the time of Ezra, because the king had documented the favor being shown to the Jews, when people opposed, they could search and say, no, this was something authorized by the king. And so wherever possible to get things documented, I shared about this building that we got documentation written into our lease agreement, settling the price for this building so that when the opportunity came for us to buy it, even though we had improved all the inside, because we had documentation, the price was already settled and we were able to buy it at that price and not have to come up with any large sums of money. That's wisdom, you see. Some of us, we're young and we're excited, and we rather than waiting for documentation, we just rush ahead, and then before you know it, down the road, because sometimes favor lasts for a certain period, people change. The people in charge might change, or the person themselves might change. But when you have documentation, it helps you to still lay hold of the favor that was offered to you sometime in the past. And then finally, I put here, wisdom helps us in discerning when times are changing. It is said of the Jews that there arose a king who didn't know anything about Joseph. As long as there was a king who knew about Joseph, favor was extended to the Jews. But suddenly there came along a Pharaoh who didn't know anything about Joseph. And suddenly favor came to an end. And so wisdom will help you and me to discern when things are changing. To know when companies are changing. To know when relationships are changing. Wisdom will help us to be able to discern that. So that we're not caught flat-footed. Let us stand. With David, and King Saul. The Bible says in Samuel that David found favor with Saul, and Saul was being tormented. David found favor. But after a while, that favor came to an end. And Saul tried to pin David to the wall with his spear. And so David was able to discern, things have changed here. I need to get out of here or else this man is going to kill me. You see, sometimes you and I hold on to things for too long, because we didn't discern that things have changed. And end up being hurt, end up being mistreated. When, you know what, if you're walking in wisdom and listening to the Lord, you'll realize, here's a nice time to get out of the way. Here's a nice time, because the times are changing. The people in charge have changed. The attitudes have changed. The favor in this area may have been coming to an end. It's time. I don't want to be anywhere where there's not any favor being evident before me in my life. I don't want to be working in an organization where it's hostile and, you know, the favor of God has come to an end. And we're like, Lord, what are you saying to me? Wisdom. Help us to know how to function in the times of favor and to know when favor has changed, the times have changed. Let us bow our heads this morning. Talking about divine favor, how to operate in divine favor and how to grow in favor and the wisdom that we need in times of favor. You and I, as the children of God, we will continue to experience special favor in different areas of our lives. Maybe you, if you step back, you might recognize it even now. And for us to pray into those areas. Let's just bow our heads. Is there anybody in this house this morning? And first and foremost, you need to recommit yourself to the Lord. And you're saying, Pastor Joe, will you pray with me? Just raise your hand. Anybody in this house that need to recommit themselves to the Lord this morning? The next thing I want us to do is to take a few minutes, a couple of minutes, and to pray for favor. You know, the word came earlier, and Sean demonstrated it for us, that position of being on our knees. That's where you find favor, that's where you release favor, on your knees, praying for yourself, praying for others. And so I want us to take a couple of minutes. And whether you do it by yourself or you do it in groups of twos, let's just be praying. If you're a parent or an adult with responsibility for others, you can be praying for favor for those young ones. For God to open doors, and as Moses prayed in Psalm 90, for God to confirm the works of their hands so they can be successful. Let's just take a moment and pray for yourself or for others, or for... It doesn't have to be family, it can be others. Just pray for God to increase favor, for God to show special favor.